You know, as we kind of get into this text for today from Mark chapter 3, what I love about this text as a leader, you got to love when everybody is on the same page, when we're all united and we're moving in the same direction, when we can all agree on something. Finally, for once, can we all just agree? And as a leader, also, you kind of hate when everybody agrees that you're the problem. You're the one that's crazy. You're the one that's out of your mind. And that's what we see today in our gospel reading in Mark chapter 3. It seems like everybody has gotten together at the beginning of Jesus' ministry to agree on one thing, that Jesus is out of his mind. There's crowds that are gathering around him everywhere that he goes because of the miracles that he's performing, right? So big are these little crowds that the disciples that he's called to follow him, they can't even do normal, ordinary tasks like eat a meal together. Right, the crowds are there. The disciples have got to be thinking, what exactly did we sign up for following this guy? Even his family now is coming to take control of him. Clearly, this Jesus brother of ours is crazy. We need to get him back into kind of the family fold, operating from the script that we've all agreed on. And even the religious leaders, the scribes, who are sort of the modern-day lawyers, they say that he's possessed by Beelzebul. He's possessed by demons because he's driving out demons. Right? Everybody seemed to get together to agree that Jesus was out of his mind. And it sort of reminded me of a famous person from my own past. You probably won't remember the name Stella Liebig. I didn't remember the name either. I had to look it up, but I remembered her story, and I bet you do too. In 1992, Stella Liebig had a little accident at her local McDonald's where she accidentally spilled coffee on her lap, and she got third-degree burns from how scalding hot that coffee was. And so in 1992, then she sort of went to trial to litigate against McDonald's for the damages, for the medical bills that she had. And everybody, it seemed, at the time, I remember the stories, thought she was crazy. I remember, you know, people talking as a child and kind of describing this woman who's taking such ridicule because she was just such a small person taking on this, you know, global, like, you know, multi-million dollar company. How in the world would she think that she would stand a chance against such a powerful sort of oppositional force? And of course, you know the story, right? She ended up winning the case against McDonald's, and she actually got a pretty substantial settlement. I don't know if we know the exact number. It was something that was reported on the internet. I think it was like $4.7 million, but then it said it got reduced. So we don't necessarily know the number, but what she didn't get in money, I bet she got in respect when she won that case. And it's pretty obvious to see why folks thought she was crazy at the time, right, for taking on McDonald's. But as we read this text in Mark, you know, for us today, it might not seem so obvious why everyone said that Jesus was crazy. And so I want to take a quick look back at the first couple chapters of Mark and just kind of go through the things that Jesus was doing that Mark is introducing us to in the early stages of Jesus' ministry. Since his baptism, he has called people to follow him, but he says he's going to make them into fishers of men, which is a little bit odd. Then he goes around casting out demons, healing diseases, touching people that others wouldn't touch, were known as unclean people, people who had leprosy. He eats with sinners. He hangs out with tax collectors, people who are ostracized outside the fringe of normal society. Not only is he eating with these people, but he's actually calling them into a relationship with him, asking them to follow him as well, to be transformed by this discipleship relationship. So he's doing things that you just wouldn't do, right? Things that are kind of out of your mind type of things. And then last week in chapter 2, as we kind of started this sermon series, Pastor John walked us through how he redefines this key practice in the Jewish faith of observing the Sabbath. And not only that, He forgives sins, something that we would all consider to only really mean something if God himself were the one doing it. Right? So in Mark's first couple of chapters, right, he's giving plenty of reasons to agree with the crowds and actually think that Jesus is in fact out of his mind. Right? Or even maybe what the scribes were accusing him of being possessed by the devil. See, to those who can't see reality clearly, it's the same person who appears to be out of his mind. And one of the effects of sin in this world is that it has made us collectively insane. And I don't mean to, you know, say that and offend, but what I mean by that is that, right, we're confused and disoriented, mixed up about reality. Since the fall into sin, things like our conception of who God is, the world around us, who we are as people, what is our identity, what does success and failure look like, you know, what does love mean, what does peace look like, all of these things have been distorted in our minds and in our hearts by sin. The serpent's promise to make us wise without God's help turned out to be a lie. It had the reverse effect, right? It binds us to him, and it blinds us from God's wisdom. It actually makes sin look desirable, look like something that would actually be a good idea for us to participate in. And actually, in his defense, then, of his activity to the scribes, Jesus actually takes it a step further, right? And he says that, in fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house, right? Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander that they utter. He says, listen, it's not just that your mind and your heart is sort of disoriented in this reality, you are bound up as if you are held captive in the house of the devil. That sin actually puts you in this capacity, in this space, where it is as if you are trapped behind a locked door and you are living in this reality as if it is your home. Can you imagine the heartbreak that God must feel to see his dearly loved creations made in his image to reflect his character into the world, to receive his love and to give and receive his love with other people's, just finding themselves a slave in someone else's house. Captive. And believing that that captivity were somehow true freedom. See, so Jesus comes into this world and he goes into battle against this prince and takes on the captivity head on. And again, like Stella Liebig, that makes him appear crazy to people.